this morning with me, please. There in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, if you find the book of Psalms, which is a very large book in the Old Testament, just keep going and you'll run right into Proverbs. It goes right after the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs. Chapter number 4, please. Chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Well, we do thank the Lord again for His blessings over the weekend. Had a wonderful trip to the wilds. We had 7 couples from this church that were able to go, and God met with us, truly challenged us, and by His grace has changed us and is changing us. Do thank the Lord for His word, and thank you for those that prayed, and we made it back safely up to the mountain and back. And so we do thank the Lord. We had beautiful weather, and we rejoice in that. And also do want to thank the Lord for protecting and watching over the Master Club kids and the leaders that went. I want to thank the Lord for that, and they did very well in their competition. And I want to tell you that type of thing does not happen by accident. Those kids worked real hard. The leaders worked real hard. And so a week from today, Sunday night, we will be honoring them, encouraging them, and rejoicing together in what the Lord did in the competition. And then also, I didn't give an update Wednesday night, but I also wanted to give praise to the Lord. Those of you, remember we were having a real big promotion with our Good News Club over here in South Jackson for this past Wednesday. We were having Cotton Candy Club Day. And that, it was a wonderful day. We had 89 young people come to the gym and, hear the word of God, hear the gospel, singing out. It was wonderful. We had a lot come back that were signed up that just hadn't been in a while. I think we had 6 new signups and just a real blessing. It was also very encouraging because I took that time to also meet with, 10, of the clubbers, and that ranges anywhere from second grade through fifth grade, 10 over this past year who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Amen. To God be the glory. What He's doing, I was able to give them some discipleship material and encourage them, talk to them about if they're in a good church, to stay there, to be faithful, and to get baptized that follows salvation, and just encourage them in that way. And so we are rejoicing in what the Lord is doing. I hope you'll continue praying for that ministry. It is wide open. The door is. And where the door is wide open, the Bible declares there are many adversaries. Okay? The Lord wants it open, but the enemy does not. So what can God's people do? The same thing God's people did to see their friend, the Apostle Peter, freed. They prayed. And so I encourage you, church, to make that a matter of your responsibility to pray for the ministries of this church, that they will be empowered by God's Spirit. Amen. That's the only way they will be long lasting and effective for His glory. Well, it has been a good weekend. I hope everyone had a good Valentine's Day. Man, I hope you remembered Valentine's Day and didn't forget. And if you did, I hope you repented and went out and got something. And ladies, I hope you were forgiving, okay? And nevertheless, I hope it was good. And just praying about what the Lord would want me to preach today. Just a little detour from the book of Acts. I didn't know where the Lord wanted me to go, but I started thinking, Lord, do you want me to bring a Valentine's message? And got to thinking about that and couldn't really get a lot of liberty in certain areas. But one way that I felt like the Lord just gave me a lot of liberty, maybe you could say is related to Valentine's. I started thinking about a lot of things you see around Valentine's Day. And that is, you see a lot of hearts around Valentine's Day in the form of candy and in the form of cards and all the commercialism that goes into that day. We know you see a lot of hearts around. And by the way, just a little tip, you can go and get Valentine cards super cheap the day after Valentine's Day, okay, for the next year, all right? That works out. Now, the candy, the dates may not last that long, but nevertheless, you can do that. But, you know, I got to praying on today's message, and I believe the Lord wanted me to bring a message on the heart. On the heart. Notice your Bible there in Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23. I'll read one verse, and then we'll have prayer. The Bible says here in chapter 4, verse number 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Church, would you read that with me? "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let's pray. Father God, we do humbly come before your presence, Lord, with praise and thanksgiving. You are an awesome God. And Lord, we exalt you above all. In this very moment, we ask that you would truly grip us with your presence and your love and your mercy and grace. God, with your truth, your word. And Lord, change us. Change my heart, oh God, through your word today and through the power of your Spirit. I pray you'd bless everyone here with attentive hearts. Lord, if there be any sleepiness, I pray that you would give an awakening, an alertness. I pray you'd give strength and clarity. And Lord, I pray that each person would just take the word of God and allow you to use it in their lives. And God, we'll give you the glory for all that you do today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The heart. What a vast subject in Scripture. Won't be able to cover it all, brethren, but I'm going to do my best to give a message that I hope will be helpful as we seek to please the Lord in our walk and that our heart might be right with Him. The title of this morning's message is this: The Citadel of Your Heart. The Citadel of Your Heart. The most valued and guarded place on earth should be your heart. For out of it comes every decision, every response, every passion, every thought that you have, every purpose you have, every action you have. It comes from the heart. And that being the case, friends, it is constantly under attack. Your heart is under attack every moment of every day. And I believe that the wisest man in the world who penned this verse wrote it for us to truly, for us to be truly gripped by it and alerted, if you will, and warned, if you will. So therefore, upon that being the truth, I do believe the guarding of it, the guarding of the heart, must be taken very seriously. A citadel. What is a citadel? Well, a citadel is a fortress that commands a city, that surrounds a town, and gives great protection against the enemies, the foes, if you will. And they're not as common here in America, but when you go around the world, especially in centuries past, you will find them still standing. Great structures that are unbelievable in their design, specifically for the purpose of repelling the enemy and also guarding that which is inside. It has a double effect. And I believe that's exactly what we see here in our verse and that word in verse 23 that says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." That word "keep" there it carries the meaning of guarding, protecting, guarding your heart with all diligence. You know, in a search on the web, I looked up the most guarded places on earth. And all the websites, the different ones, pretty much had the same pin that I could view. There was one that had to do with the security equipment that was talking about it, and that's the one I pulled from. And it stated this, home to a number of government organizations, the Cheyenne Mountain Complex is the Intelligence Command and Control Center for the United States Space Command missions and North American Aerospace Defense Command. Now, I'm not going to try to say that 10 times quickly, okay? But this was built in the Cold War, and this high security facility features super strength blast doors. Now, you're probably wondering the same thing I was when I read this. What is a blast door? Well, a blast door is a huge door built to protect against a nuclear blast. These particular doors can survive, get it, a multi-megaton nuclear detonation, and each door weighs, 25 tons. Now that is guarded. That place is truly guarded. But I want to tell you, that is an illustration for the believer to understand that we have an awesome responsibility given by God, brethren, to do whatever it takes to go any measure possible to guard our hearts spiritually. We have a responsibility to choose that we will do that. Because out of it, every issue in life will come about. What you're facing today in many ways is what you and I are facing today in many ways is a result of our heart's condition. And we must ask the Lord to help us to understand what exactly is the heart and how do we guard it. Well, hopefully I'm going to be able to answer those questions with the Word of God this morning. I want us to see, number one, I just want to look at the heart. What is the heart? The heart, the word heart is used in Scripture and not in reference to the human organ that we have. But it's used 800 times, over 800 times, in the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, just in the book of Proverbs, it's used 78 times. The Hebrew word for it, lave, it refers to the meaning. What is the heart? It's the inner man. The inner being. Who you are. Who I am. The makeup that I have. The intellect. And the volition. And the simple emotions that I'm made up of. That is the heart. And that is what we read in context. In the Greek New Testament, the word heart that's used many times is the Greek word cardia. Of course, where we get our English word referring to heart doctors, cardiologists, cardio in the exercise of for the heart. But that also gives reference and meaning to it, the center of emotions, will, and intellect. It's that center being. It's your inner being you really are. And so we can fool each other on the outside. But who we really are is on the inside. And only God sees that truly, brethren. But who we are on the inside will truly produce what's on the outside. Because that is the issues of life. And that's where we want the issues to glorify Him. I'm just going to quickly, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture this morning. You don't have to turn there, you can. I'm going to put them up on the screen for you. And just talking about, now again, won't be able to go through all 800 uses of the word heart this morning. But nevertheless, I do want to look at a few. And I'm not going to preach on each one, just to help us to understand where God uses this context of the heart. The inner being, who I really am. Number one, we see it, its first use. And, you know, in the study of hermeneutics, you have the first mention principle. And the heart is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It says this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This is before God would destroy the earth through the flood. Deuteronomy 4:39 says, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else." Joshua 24:23, Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Proverbs 10:8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now that's the heart's condition, but I want to tell you that condition can change very quickly through salvation. Because when salvation happens, you only have a heart that can only produce wickedness. But when a person finds Christ and trusts Him and Him alone, God gives him a new heart. And it's a blessing to have a new heart. Because then I can truly serve God. But until I get the new heart, until you get the new heart through Christ and Christ alone, your heart cannot serve Jesus Christ. I like what Ezekiel said in the reference of the nation of Israel, but we definitely see the application in New Testament too. Ezekiel 36:26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Brethren, can I just pause right there and ask you, do you have a new heart? Do you have a new heart that has been given by God to replace that stony heart that is there before that transformation, that regeneration when God the Spirit meets you with conviction and you turn and you respond to Him through faith in the gospel and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then He gives you a new heart? Have you been there? Have you done that? If you haven't, my friend, today's your day. God loves you. And He wants to give you a new heart. Stop trying to serve God and know God with a stony heart. That's got to be frustrating. I can only imagine how irritating and frustrating that life must be. And what you need to do is say, God, I don't want the stony heart. I want a new heart. And you know what? God will say, I gladly give you that. But you got to come by the way of the cross. It takes a lot of humility. It takes a swallowing of pride. He's saying, God, I'm setting that aside and I'm trusting in You. The cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ. God will give you a new heart, friend. Your will change. It won't be perfected, okay? It won't be perfected until glory, but it'll begin changing. God will change you with a new heart. Your will will change. Your emotions will change. Your intellect will change because your understanding of God. Listen, you know how a person is truly intellectual? Is if they know the true and only wise God. It's not if they can parse Greek verbs or put together these enormous mathematical equations. A true person who is smart and wise is going to know God and allow Him to give them a new heart. That is what God desires. We see it in the New Testament used. Jesus used it in the Beatitudes. He said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 15:8 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What does that mean, brethren? It means the most inner being really has nothing to do with God. There's no interest there. There's no desire there. There's maybe a conformity on the outside, but on the inside, it's still stone. Notice Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then finally, look at 1 John 3:21. It says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. There are many more, hundreds more that I could have used, but for the sake of time, you understand that it is important that we guard the heart, the most inner being, from being attacked. And that's what I want to talk about. Secondly, we see the heart in its definition and understanding what it is. But then I want us to look at the enemies of the heart. What are the citadel has a double use, if you will, as I mentioned. It's to keep the bad things out, and it's to guard the good things that are in. All right? So what are some of the bad things that are constantly knocking at our door, trying to reach our heart? Well, I want to encourage you, first of all, understand, as I've mentioned, it will be from every angle you can imagine. Because remember, brethren, if the enemy can get the heart, he's got it all. All right? If he can get the heart, he's got it all. And we open up one spot for him to get in any way, he will hijack it all. It will affect every part of my life if I let him have a part of it. You see, we got to understand, and we have a human responsibility. God is included in that, of course. Don't mistake me, please. But that word diligence there is very clear in its human responsibility. You got to make a choice, brethren, this morning that, look, my heart is under attack. I sense it. Perhaps it's been overtaken. I don't know. But I have got to do everything I can to stand against it. All guarding is in vain unless the heart is guarded. What are some ways that the enemy, what types of things try to reach the heart? Well, you're going to see several things if you notice after verse number 23 back there in Proverbs. You can underline them if you want to, but you notice verse 24, it talks about putting away a froward mouth, perverse lips. It talks about let thine eyes look right on. And then verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet. These are some ways, I believe, that try to get a hold of the heart. They try to attack the heart, if you will. And we got to guard against it. That first one I want to look at is the froward mouth. What is that? Brethren, that's just evil speaking. You got to guard your heart against evil speaking. I must guard my heart against evil speaking. That can fall under the lines of many things. But you know what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Jesus said. How does evil speaking, how can that defile my heart? How can that damage and get into my heart? Because what it does, whether it be mocking someone, ridiculing someone, whether it be having a critical spirit, whether it be gossip, the other ways that I open my heart up is lying, telling lies. Perhaps it's bragging with a prideful spirit, boasting in my accomplishments or who I am instead of who God is. That can be evil speaking. What about manipulating? Manipulating people, trying to get them to say things, just try to get them to follow you, or trying to get them to do what you want them to do. That's manipulating. That's evil speaking. That's a froward mouth. And you open your heart to the enemy when you do that. Hurtful speech. And it's not just words, by the way, brethren. And you agree with me here that it's not just words that hurt, but it's the tone. Would you agree to that, brethren? We quickly can be sharp with a tone in our voice. We can quickly be disrespectful with our tone. We can say a word that's not dishonoring, that a word that is not bad in itself, but the way we use that word. Some of you young people here are allowing your heart to be defiled because of how you're responding with your tone towards your parents, towards your authorities. Husbands, the way you would talk to your wife, you can be guilty quickly of a froward mouth because of your tone. Ladies, the same way. We can make application all across this church. We got to be careful. We open it up to the enemy by doing that. But then we also see not only evil speaking, but another enemy of the heart is we see that comes through the eye gate. In verse 25, it says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. What happens through the eye gate? What are the things? Well, one of the first things that I know is an enemy of the heart is lust. Lust. You open up your heart to lust, I'm going to tell you, you are opening yourself up to the enemy, and the citadel will be just blown apart. We have a society today that is simply, it's epidemic, and that is pornography. And it's not just with men. More and more as the statistics come by, and by the way, they track all of it. These porn sites, they know by your identification code on your website, your computer, they can pick up the amount of males and females, and it's been primarily years past, the past decade, always the male had the high number, but now it's moving into the females. Women are getting tied into that, and it's through lust. It's through the desire of the eye of things that God does not intend us to have, and it breaks down the citadel. And when He does it, brethren, mark it down. When He breaks down that part, He's got control of the whole heart. It will affect every part of your life. Don't kid yourself, friend. Do not kid yourself. If you have given that part to the enemy, he has it all. Because out of it are the issues of life. It's going to affect every relationship you have. It's going to affect your job. It's going to affect your future. It's going to affect who you are. And it's not just through pornography. It's through immoral relationships. It's through covetousness. It's through envy and jealousy. The eyes seeing things, something you want that's not yours, that God has said no to. We got a society that has truly perverted the holy act of sex. God created sex. And it's nothing to blush about. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's a beautiful design of Almighty God for a man and a woman to come together in holy matrimony. But what the world has done, brethren, they have perverted it. And said, no, we do it this way, not God's way. But it's time for the people of God and churches like this to stop blushing every time sex comes up and say, yes, sex was created by God and it was meant to glorify God and the bounds of holy matrimony. And let me encourage you, single men and single ladies here, guard yourself. Keep your heart. Guard your purity. Give it to none except for that one God will give you in holy matrimony. Don't let Satan get in there and rob you of that. It's precious, your purity. And if you have fallen and you've made that mistake, you know what you do? You go to God and ask for forgiveness and get cleansed and say from here on out, oh God, my heart is pure unto Thee until the one You give me in holy matrimony. My dear friends, we got to understand, we need to guard the heart. I'm telling you this morning, it can come through not only envy and jealousy, but it can come through pride. When we think we are the ones that deserve all the attention, that this world revolves around me. I'm not getting to this world thinking that this world revolves around Brinson Jennings. That is simply a sin of pride, brethren. And we got to guard against that. This life is not about you. This life is not about me. This life is about our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him, isn't it? I want to guard that. I don't want to take any of His. I want to guard. I want to keep that which is good within, my adoration of Him, my respect for Him. I want to keep that in. I don't want that to leave. But that other stuff that's trying to bust through and take it from Him, I want to guard it with all my life. Whatever it takes, I want to guard it so that only He can be glorified. You see, what are we willing to do? To put up the citadel around our heart for the glory of God. But not only through the eye gate, but then we look here, this interesting in verse 26, it says, ponder the path of thy feet. You know, another enemy of the heart is this. It's negligence. It's carelessness. I know an enemy of the heart is a life, and I've been there and you've been there. And it's one of the worst feelings in the world to me personally. But that's when you're living in this world and you don't feel like you have any purpose. You ever feel that way, brethren? That's discouraging, isn't it? One of the best things we can do to guard our hearts is to know that you have an awesome purpose. You have a God-given, ordained, designed purpose just for you. And if you go through life with an apathetic heart, and I do, and you dwell in that, you get careless. And you don't really care what you're doing tomorrow. You don't really care what God thinks. And then you don't ponder the path of your for your feet. And your goings do not get established. And you're just kind of floating around like a bubble that's going to eventually pop and be of no good. But may God raise us up to understand, no, I am guarding against that foolishness. I have a purpose in life. And by the grace of God, I'm going to find it and I'm going to follow it. God's not done with me. God's working on me. And it's wonderful to know that God is leading me along. And I do need where I'm going. I do need to think about the choices I'm making that's going to impact my children and my friends and my family. I do need to care about that. Oh, my friends, that's guarding the heart against negligence. Have purpose, as Daniel did. He purposed in his heart, here it is, his heart, that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. May God raise up a remnant in America today who will start standing up for righteousness and glory in the God Almighty and let revival sweep through us. You see, we're the enemies of the heart, but then we see the defenders of the heart. Those are the ones trying to get in. But look, the defenders of the heart, I want to tell you, the citadel around our heart. I like what Charles Bridges said. He said, if the citadel or the fortress around us be taken, the whole town must surrender. They take the citadel, they take the town. And brethren, we got to determine this morning by the grace of God, not giving in. Not giving in. God is our defense, and I'm going to show you that. But you see, if the heart is seized, the whole man, the affections, desires, motives, and pursuits will be yielded. Charles Bridges also said this, here lies the conflict to the end. The greatest difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to God. But after conversion, it is to keep the heart with God. You see, that's the hardest part, is letting God convert you. But then once we get born again, then that's the task of Him keeping it. And we keeping it to Him. But what are some defenders of the heart? Let me share these with you quickly. Number one, it's going to be God's Word. My friend, if you have no relationship with the Word of God, you have no citadel. You have no fortress. If you're here today and you are under attack, I'm telling you, run to the book. Open up your Bible and get in there and start reading it. And let it impact you. Get under the preaching of the Word of God. Get under the teaching of the Word of God. And hey, listen to the Word of God. We have, Brother Mike, don't we? We have so many resources today. We have podcasts. We have iTunes. We have internet sites. We have devotionals. We have commentaries. We have this, events where they have a conference or whatever the case may be. And I am not being critical of those things. I am thankful. I just left one and left greatly encouraged. But brethren, I think the point is, we are without excuse. God has made His Word available to the American church like I don't know any other country in this world. I think the enemy has succeeded in convincing us to take it for granted. Listen to Psalm 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Get this. I love this. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you something about your citadel. You're not going to build it, and you're not going to hold it up. It's going to be God who holds it up. But the responsibility that you have and I have is to remain on watch. God, here it comes! Oh, God, help me! That sin that besets me every time, it's here again. It's knocking on my heart's door. Let me in, let me in, let me in, let me in. Oh, God, I need your word, I need your help. They're trying to get in again, that jealousy, that critical spirit, that lust. It's at me again, God, I'm crying out to you, I need some help. Be my buckler. You know what that's doing? That is keeping your heart with all diligence, brethren. That's being watchful. It's being purposeful. You see, that is our responsibility. Psalm 3:3 says, "But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." He's the lifter upper, praise God. Amen. Aren't you glad he's the lifter upper? Aren't you glad he's there to protect you and he's a refuge and a fortress? Oh, my brethren, let's be encouraged this morning, please, as we meditate upon the greatness of our God and his protection of us. Because I described the things that haunt us every day in some way. Psalm 28:7 says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and my song will I praise him." Oh, to God be the glory. He's an awesome protector. Listen to Psalm 119:114. "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." Listen to Psalm 91:4. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth," get it, "shall be thy shield and buckler." Wow. God's word. That's the defender of the heart. And then, not only God's word, as I have already mentioned, it is man's watchfulness. Don't forget the verse in 1 Peter 5:8. That's be alert. Be watchful. It says here, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." As you could peer over the citadel, at any time, just as an image and an illustration, if you were to peek over the citadel to see where the enemies might be, I'm telling you, it wouldn't be but a few moments that you would see the enemy out there lurking, looking for a weak spot, looking to take you out. That's why you remain steadfast with the citadel of God's word and taking heed to it and allowing him to protect you, because we know the enemy is coming. Ranked as the most secure place in the world, home to America's monetary assets, Fort Knox, located in Kentucky, is the renowned for being one of the most secure places on earth. And let me tell you why. It is said that around 5,000 tons of gold are housed at Fort Knox, worth billions of dollars. And to ensure it is completely safe, there is a bank vault hidden deep within a basement of the depository that has a 250-ton door at its entrance. And if that wasn't enough, the entire location is surrounded by military camp to ward off any intruders. Wow. There's something very valuable there, isn't it? But I want to tell you, brethren, with all of my heart, that I can tell you this morning, listen to me. Listen to me, please. That doesn't compare to the value of your precious heart. Your heart is more valuable than all the money in the world. You have to guard it. You have to take extra measures. You have to submit yourself to the Lord God. He'll protect you. He'll protect me. But we got to be willing with all diligence, with all vigilance. You see, my brethren, how guarded is your heart this morning? What is going on in your life right now? What's happening? Has the enemy invaded? Your citadel is only as strong as your submission to the Word of God. And so my exhortation to you this morning, my friends, my brothers and sisters, let's make a decision this morning that we're going to take this verse to heart, because we know for out of the heart are all the issues of life. If there needs to be a renewal here this morning, I want to tell you, David prayed this, "Lord, renew a right spirit within me." You may need just to ask God to renew you, that you've let some things in that shouldn't have. Perhaps you're here this morning and you have a stony heart. You've never been given a new one. And that's because you've never put your faith and trust in Christ. I want to tell you, you can do that today before you leave. Just please come and talk to me. Send me an email. My information is on our bulletin. If you don't feel comfortable in a service like this, getting up and coming forward, whatever the case may be, I want you to know you have someone here that cares for you. And I would be glad to talk to you from the Bible of what it means to have a new heart and to be able to live unto Jesus Christ with power and victory. That's what it's all about. My friend, let's be obedient to the Spirit of God this morning, how He's speaking to us. Would you stand with me, please?